Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by a special guest today, Justin Coe. Justin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. I'm a huge fan.
Well, you are probably best known not for your actual name, but for your name as That Christian Vlogger. Can you share with our audience who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, totally. So if you don't know what a vlogger is, vlogger with a V stands for video blogger. So of course, I'm guessing everyone has heard of what a blogger is, written form, content, that kind of stuff. Video blogger is pretty much the same thing, sharing your thoughts, sharing your opinions on the world, your experiences in life, but through video format. So I run a YouTube channel called That Christian Vlogger, and I document my experience with God, kind of the lessons that I'm learning, the reflections that I have in life, and then, you know, just my day-to-day experience. And it's been pretty cool. Been doing it for a little bit over a year, and we have a pretty amazing community of primarily young adults. And so when people ask me, what do? I tell them I make YouTube videos on faith for Christian millennials. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So is this your job? Is this something you do as a hobby? What does that look like practically for you?
Yeah. So right now, the way that I frame what I'm doing currently is I consider myself to be a digital missionary, to be a YouTube missionary, really. And so in a certain sense, this is like my full-time thing. So we can get into the story a little bit, but in November of last year, I said, all right, God, I believe you're calling me to this field. I believe that this is something that you've equipped me to do and you're leading me down this path. And so I told God, I will give you 12 months. I quit my job and I'll give you 12 months completely dedicated to this mission and this project, as it were. And so, yeah, I'm giving my full-time effort to this ministry. And so in a certain sense, this is, I guess, my job. It's my career. It's kind of hard to answer that with a simple yes or no, but I am doing this full-time at the moment.
All right. So I love that language of digital missionary. YouTube is your mission field. How big, so even as you think about missionaries, historically would almost say like, if we're going to go to Kenya, our potential mission reaches X. How big is that mission field on YouTube?
Well, the mission field is massive. I think YouTube recently said something to the effect of they have about a little over a billion users who tune in every single day for a time length of over 1 hour. So there, the potential reach is massive. My particular corner of YouTube, I think I have right around 35,000 subscribers. And so that's my immediate reach today. And what's cool about it is my reach continues to grow, with every passing day.
Yeah. So let's talk about you personally. And then I want to talk about the story of how you got started. And then I want to get into some practical, but you personally, are you, right out of college? Are you married? Are you single? What's your story personally?
Yeah, I am 27 years old. I'm happily married to Emily, who's my wife, obviously. And we've been married now for just over 2 years.
What did she say? Sorry to cut you off. What did she say?
Go ahead.
When you're like, I think I'm going to quit my job and go into the mission field of YouTube. What was that?
Right. Okay. So, I mean, it wasn't exactly an overnight thing, but I literally did one day come home from work and tell her, hey, I think I'm ready. I'm ready to quit my job and to do this whole YouTube thing, kind of a thing. And my wife is the most patient and supportive kind of individual, and probably patient and supportive to a fault, where she maybe doesn't push back as much, but she basically paused for, a long 3 or 4 seconds, kind of swallowed and then was like, all right, okay, let's do it. We had conversations for the months leading up to it. Obviously, everyone knows that when God calls you to something, there's kind of like a process. I think for the vast majority of times, he can knock you off the proverbial donkey, blind you, and just like come out of nowhere. But most of the times, at least in my experience, you see the ramping up, you see the leading of it. And so for months, I had felt like this was something that God was leading me towards. And so it didn't quite come out of nowhere. And so we had a number of conversations on it beforehand. So she was very supportive and, she still remains to be to this day, very, very, very supportive of what we're doing.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And I love, I know a little bit further down the journey of what's happened over the last year, But if you could share with our listeners, where did the concept come from? And then walk us through the journey of the last year from concept to execution to now having a really engaged community that's now formed.
Yeah. So when I first started making videos, I mean, I had no aspirations of it, you know, and truth be told, I'm a terrible like cinematographer. I'm a terrible video editor. Like those are all skills that I'm kind of learning by necessity. And that's not like, don't get me wrong, that's not like a false humility. You know, some people are like, oh, I can't sing or I can't play the piano. And then they get up on stage and you're like, come on, like you're downplaying what God's doing through you. Like seriously, I do not have that skill set. I started doing YouTube primarily because I fell in love with this amazing girl, and I figured, you know what, it's about time to pop the question where I want to ask her to marry me. And I thought, you know what would be really cool is to be able to video that entire experience. I didn't know it as vlogging at that time. Just I want to video the experience so we can capture it, and you know, 50 years from today, we can look back on it and smile and have this whole time. So I ended up purchasing a GoPro. You know, on the little selfie stick or whatever the case is. And I started making videos of just kind of us hanging out. And the idea was I got to make videos before I ask her to marry me. So that way, when I finally do it, the video is half decent. And also, you know, it's not like, why is he breaking out the video camera all of a sudden? So I started making videos of our dates, of our hangouts and things like that. And then finally asked her to marry me. I got the whole thing on video. It's one of my first videos that I still have as public on my channel. And, you know, thankfully she said yes. And so that's kind of how I started it. And right after we got married, we ended up moving across the country. I was living in California at the time. And we went to Philadelphia. I accepted a position at a small Bible college as a teacher. And I continued making videos because I figured that'd be a great way for us to document our experience out east, away from our family. It'd be a great way to keep everyone kind of in the loop with what's going on. And so I kept on doing that. But as I was out there, this whole like vlogging scene on YouTube really started blowing up. You know, people like Casey Neistat came on the scene and just like really brought a lot of attention to this subgenre within YouTube. And I immediately became enamored with the format and just the impact of it. You know, I'm not someone that necessarily accepts everything that Casey Neistat shares on his channel, but there's something just infectious about the way that he does it and the delivery and just the format of it all that I found really impacted my life. Yep. And so I was curious, man, what would it be like if someone tried to use this genre of video for the kingdom of God? And so I looked online and I literally searched Christian vloggers, Christian YouTubers. And kind of to my surprise, there are only a very small handful of people that are doing exactly that and doing it well. Yep. You know, there's maybe less than half a dozen people who are really doing a meaningful ministry online, at least to my search at that time. And yeah. So I started to dream a little bit more. What would it be like if I tried to do that? And so that's kind of how the idea, I guess, got started.
Yeah. So we'll, and I want to dig into what happened next, but who are some of those people that you could say right now, or maybe two or three that are doing a good job in the faith space and in the Christian?
Sure. So a couple of people that I found, right away, you know, there's, I mean, and it's not always based on the size of the audience, but yeah. Even just like the potency of their message. So, you know, I found people like Joseph Solomon, who has a channel called Chase God. There's another guy named John Jorgensen who does a lot of spoken word stuff. Really, really great content. There's several female Christian YouTubers, Katie Gregoire, Becca. I actually don't even know Becca's last name. She goes by Faraway Distance on YouTube. There's a whole community. One of my favorites is actually the Shermans, Mark and Brittany Sherman, who when I found them, they were missionaries in Tanzania vlogging their experience as missionaries. And it, you know, there's a handful of people who are doing some really cool things, but a good chunk of them, it's kind of like a hobby. It's kind of a side thing, which, you know, it's great. God is working through it. But, you know, I feel like, you know, we could probably direct a whole generation of young people towards this wide open mission field and really accomplish a lot.
Yeah. Oh man. I love it. I think there's just so much opportunity here, and I recently had Sean Cannell on the show, who I know you know.
Oh, Sean's the man.
With And he has so inspired me, and I've started vlogging, or I've started recording vlogs. I have not released any yet. But I'm studying this space so much. I've been watching it for a couple of years, and it's kind of one of those things that I don't know why it took me so long to just have this aha moment of, there's a huge opportunity. It just so naturally fits with just a conversational way to build relationships online and connect with people online with a core message in a creative and unique way. So let's talk about though, so you had the idea and it was kind of developed. Let's talk from launch to today. What happened? And what did, you know, I would say, as you talk about what happened, I would love to hear what worked and what failures, because you had to have some like just miss, like, man, I really flopped here or learned, you know, a hard lesson here.
Yeah. So when I finally got around to saying, all right, I want to give this a shot. It was around New Year's season. You know, everyone is writing down their lists of how I'm going to change my life and become this way more productive person. I got all these New Year's resolutions and dreams of how, you know, New Year, new you, new year, new me kind of thing. So this was just last year, 2016, around January. I'm thinking, okay, for this year, one of my primary projects will be starting a YouTube channel with a mission emphasis. And so I'm sitting down, writing down on my list goals for the year, 1 year goals, 5 year goals, 10 year goals. And specifically when it came to YouTube, I'm thinking, okay, what is a good milestone for 1 year's worth of work? I already said, okay, I'll do one video every single week, because that's kind of the, I guess, industry standard. Yep. I'm willing to try and figure this out. I'm not a professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm going to try it. So I wrote down on a piece of paper, I said, let's go with 250 subscribers. Cause you know, I think to myself, you know, I have about a decade worth of evangelism and ministry experience in other contexts. Yep. And I think, how hard do I need to work if I'm planting a church to get 250 to come to the building and be a part of this community? Like, you got to work your butt off to do that, right? Yeah. Or how hard do I got to work to give a Bible study to 250 people? Like, that is tremendous, right? So I figured 250 is a valuable and even an ambitious goal to get that many people interested in kind of the message that I'm sharing. And then after I wrote that down, I had a pause for reflection, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm not exercising quite the faith that God wants me to have. You know, maybe there's more. So I got to set down a faith goal, you know, where I'm not going to be disappointed if I fall short of it. But, you know, kind of like if God wants to rain down in Holy Spirit power and just completely put his hand of blessing on what I'm doing, what would that look like? And said, all right, well, I got to double that, 500 subscribers in 1 year. And so that's what I wrote down. Little did I know what God wanted to do through everything that was happening, because in just about 1 month, I had already passed that 500 subscriber mark. And from there on, it was just as if God was saying, listen, like, there's going to be a lot more that's going to happen through this channel. We're going to have much larger impact than you even realize at this moment. Yep. And so it was pretty amazing. You know, I just put my head down, kept working, kept on studying and trying to figure out how to do this better. And in 12 months, my online tribe grew to, you know, over 10,000 people, 10,000 subscribers. And that was just in February of this last year. And so in the last 6 months, it's gone from 10,000 to 35,000. And the trajectory is still trending. Wow. Yeah, it blows my mind. And so right away from the very beginning, I had to kind of put down all my expectations of what God was going to do through it and just say, all right, God, I'm going to do my best. And whatever that looks like as far as a result, you know, you get to control that.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So as you look back, was there maybe one or two moments that was there one or two videos maybe that took off more than anything else? One or two things you did tactically that when you did this, you saw subscriber rate shoot through the roof? What are a couple of things that really kind of caught or stuck as you experimented?
Yeah, you know, I wish I had an answer where I could say yes. Like, oh yeah, this is what to do. Like, but the reality is that's not the case. No. My growth never really took off. Mm-hmm. It was a very slow, consistent grind. Well, I mean, I guess slow is kind of subjective, but it felt slow. You know, it was just grinding and grinding. And so I think that two of like the most important qualities for someone who's entering into the space I have is number one is consistency, yeah. and number two is patience. Because there was no moment where I just jumped. It was like, you know, I might get one new subscriber a day if I was lucky at the very beginning. And I would, oh my goodness, I noticed every single one of them. Yep. And then, you know, that number eventually went from one a day to two a day, to four a day, to five a day. And so it was this relatively slow, gradual growth over time. There was no video that took off. I have no viral videos. You know, I have videos that are doing better than others, but nothing that just like blew up and overnight, oh my goodness, 1 million views. You know, it wasn't like that. It's just, you know, I put out in my first year doing it as like a hobby, a little over 100 videos,
wow.
you know, and this year I'm on pace to do like maybe 150 videos this year. And so there really wasn't a takeoff moment. It was just really keep making more videos, keep making more content, keep sharing kind of your thoughts and your experience with God, and you know, people continue to tune in, and it's been pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk practically about your workflow to creating content. How do you go from idea to script to recording it, to editing it, to uploading it? What does that workflow look like for you?
You know, it's not very different than anyone else who's in ministry. Anyone else who's ever preached a sermon, it's pretty much the exact same process, which is really great for those of you guys who are listening, who are in ministry, who have experience in teaching and preaching, because it's literally the same thing. The only difference is instead of thinking, okay, I got now 30 minutes or 45 minutes to present a topic, think more towards the 7 to 15 minute range. What would you do there? How would you present the exact same message that you're giving on a given week? And how would you deliver that exact same content in a digital format? How would you do that to someone who maybe isn't completely bought into your church? Like they're not a member per se, but they're at least moderately interested enough because they clicked on the video. So how would you deliver that content in a much quicker pace?
Yeah.
And if you've gone through that experience writing a sermon, coming from, all right, God, what do you want me to talk about? What's the thing that's speaking to me in this moment? What do I have a burden for sharing? I mean, you start there with a video and with a sermon. And then you create your outline. You think of your sermon illustrations. You write it and then you rewrite it. Then you practice it out loud. Then you rewrite it again. Like that entire process, everything that you would do for a sermon, I literally do for most of my YouTube videos, unless it's a question and answer, then it's just simply me responding. But when I'm making a video on a particular topic that I'm passionate about, I literally do everything that I would do to write a sermon.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And then let's talk about your tools. What cameras are you using? What software are you using to edit?
Sure. I use a Sony A7S Mark II. If you guys want to see my kit, there's a website you can check out, kit.com/thatchristianvlogger. It'll have all the details on my exact kit. But to answer your question, I run an A7S Mark II with a 16 to 35 millimeter F4 lens. I use a VideoMic Pro and I edit on my Mac with Final Cut Pro, and that pretty much covers most of my bases.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, so I love this. I mean, I think getting very practical, pastors are creating content every week. I think what I hear you saying is if a pastor can just repurpose that content, record it in a unique and edit it in a unique fashion for YouTube, they could really engage a unique audience. And even from a pastoral standpoint, well, I guess here's a question I have. Do you see yourself as a pastor? You've got 35,000 subscribers. Do you see yourself as a pastor to those subscribers? What is that relationship?
Yeah. Good question. If someone asks me if I'm a pastor, I say no. And part of that is strategic because I don't think young people respond to the quote unquote pastors as well as they used to maybe say 30 or 40 years ago. It's more of a turnoff than oh, now I can trust you. I think there's a greater degree of skepticism towards quote unquote traditional ministry. So yeah. I'd rather consider myself a YouTuber than a pastor.
Okay.
Because if I'm my target market, my target demographic are millennials. That's who I feel a burden for. Millennials will respond better to a YouTuber than a pastor. But for all intents and purposes, I am a digital pastor. I give content on more than a weekly basis, you know, two or three pieces of spiritual content every single week. Yeah. When people reach out to me with questions on my social media, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, whatever the case is, my response, like pretty much 100% of the time, is if they have a serious question, is, hey, thanks for reaching out to me. Let's jump on Skype like right now or whenever you're free and let's talk. And I will literally have like quote unquote pastoral visits for an hour or 2 hours with my audience from around the world. Wow. So in a certain sense, I say yes. And in another sense, I say no. But you know, my goal is to accomplish, you know, that which a pastor would do, but my audience happens to be a largely unchurched demographic.
I love that. And your content, is it all faith-based, or do you go outside of faith space with some of your content?
I want to say upwards of 90% of my content is explicitly spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of my content is me looking in front of standing with a tripod in front of me, talking to the camera, single shot, no flashy editing, largely because of my limitations on skills in that department. But largely it's just me talking about a spiritual subject, whether it's like a devotional style, it might be a testimonial style, or a question and answer. And so those are like upwards of 90% of my content is exactly like that. Occasionally, I take the camera with me on a day-to-day journey or experience. But even in those moments, it pretty much has a spiritual emphasis. There's a certain part of me that feels guilty when I just put up a video just because I just want to share my life with no moral or lesson or object lesson or something like that. Occasionally, I do, but I try to be fairly consistent that there's some spiritual purpose for every piece of my every piece of content.
And then platform wise, are you all in on YouTube? Are you diversified on other platforms, or where are you at with that?
Yeah. I'm all in on YouTube as far as where my energy and time and resources go. The just being a one man band, you know, people complain all the time, oh, I don't have a team. And that's exactly where I'm at. I'm a one man band. So I just don't have the bandwidth to do other social media, other places effectively. So I'm all in on YouTube, but most of my one-on-one contact comes outside of YouTube. It comes through my Facebook or my Instagram, but I treat those as kind of supplementary platforms. But YouTube is where my attention is.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's talk about where you're going. So you have now built this community, you know, subscribers. You're going to just keep creating videos, keep growing that platform. What do you see ahead for the future?
That's a great question. And I don't know the answer to that, you know, really, because I approach all the projects that I start or everything that, you know, I'm led towards by God with a certain degree of unattachment. And the reason why is because, you know, I believe at any moment God could call me away from this and into something new. So I don't want to ever get married to one of my pet projects, even though I feel like God led me to this YouTube thing for this year. I don't know, honestly, I don't know what next year looks like. It could be that he wants me to do something completely different. And so emotionally, I try to always be prepared to pivot and to move wherever God is leading me. So part of the answer is I have no idea. I could not be doing this next year. I could not be doing this for, you know, in the future. When I told God 12 months, I committed to 12 months. That means month 13, this whole thing could, in theory, just go away. Yeah. I don't think that's where he's leading, but it could be. Where I would hope it goes is I would hope that I would be able to continue creating content multiple times a week. I would like to grow this to where I have enough of a team where I can have editors, I can have videographers, I could have people that are helping with the writing. I would love to build this out into a much larger thing than just a solo project. Yeah. But you know, I don't know if that's what God has in store for us. So I'm kind of taking it literally week by week, month by month, and just following the opportunities as God opens doors.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to get personal here, and you can reject the question if you want
sure.
to. We, and people that listen know that this is all raw conversations. You and I had just messaged on Facebook a little bit before, and that was all.
Totally.
So I'm curious, and I think our listeners are probably curious, how do you pay your bills? And here's the question I have with that is, you know, you use the term digital missionary. A missionary typically raises funds to do their mission work. I'm looking at it right now as, and I've done my companies in the fundraising business of when I think about a financial investment with great ROI, what you're doing has great ministry ROI from my perspective. Somebody who wants to seed into fruitful ministry, into millennials who are disengaging from the church, or at least that's in many ways the perception. So that's where my mind is going.
Yeah,
I'm sure practically.
No, totally.
How you manage what that looks like.
No, I'm glad that you feel that way, because I mean, I certainly feel that way. I feel like there's going to be a massive ROI as far as kingdom building is concerned. I think that this platform, not like my platform, but digital ministry in general, is going to have some of the highest return on investment as far as kingdom work is considered. Yeah. Unfortunately, most people who are in a position to be donors, you know, people who have who've kind of finished their career and they've amassed a certain amount of wealth and they're looking how to stewardship that best, most of them don't understand the impact of digital ministry because they come from a different generation. They come from a different era where maybe they're still more excited about a traditional tent meeting or passing out tracts or things like that. Not to say that any of that's wrong. I have 10 years of that type of ministry experience. So I'm all in on that. But I think if we're going to try and reach the millennial generation, we have to be opening to meet people where they are at. And digital ministry is the way to go to doing that. So I'm glad that you feel like there's a high ROI as far as that's concerned. So just kind of as a shameful self-plug, if there are people that are out there that are looking to sow seeds into the younger generation millennials, hit me up, because the reality, to answer your question about how I pay the bills, like this is a tremendous need for my ministry and for myself. So when I say I'm approaching it like a digital missionary, I literally mean exactly that. You're correct in saying that most missionaries raise a bunch of money to go overseas. Yep. The advantage of being a digital missionary is that I actually don't have to like literally sell everything that I have and move to another foreign country and rely on, I guess, partners or donors or something like that.
Yep.
So, this 12-month period, I have not made a single dollar doing this, which is why I say, you know, my wife is really the key to making this work. My wife works as an occupational therapist. Okay. And so thankfully, we are not, you know, homeless and destitute in that sense. She's able to help cover the bills. So part of it is that I'm not expecting a paycheck for this 12-month period.
Yep.
You know, moving forward, I think just being a good steward and being a good man of the house, I do need to think in that direction. But I believe that God called me to not worry about that for at least 12 months. The second part of the answer is that my wife is incredibly supportive. She's the one working, helping us to pay off our student loans and things like that. And God willing, we see the end in sight for that. And then the third part of the answer is actually I have amazing in-laws. My wife's parents are supportive to the extent that not only do they say, hey, we are going to give you our blessing and say, we're going to be praying for you and support you emotionally through this time, but literally, and this is a super millennial thing to do, I'm living with my in-laws right now. Like where I am having this meeting with you through Skype or through Zoom rather, I am at my in-laws' house. And so they said, we will open up our house to you, you know, for this window of time. It's not an indefinite thing. It's not just an aimless, I'm not doing anything kind of thing, but it's really, we believe in what you're doing and here's how we can support. We might not be able to support financially, but you can live at our house for this window of time. Yeah. And so those are the three biggest considerations that have helped us execute this dream. And then beyond that, there's, you know, there is a little bit of income that comes through the ministry. It's generating a very modest amount of money, but that money, literally 100% of it and more has been reinvested into the channel because I started off with a computer that's not powerful enough. I started off with a terrible camera, no audio equipment, no lighting. And so every dollar that has been gifted to my ministry has gone back into reinvesting it into it and to just increase the quality and the reach of what I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks for being so transparent in that. I personally would want to have an offline conversation with you after this call.
Totally.
Because I believe in what you're doing. And I want to encourage the listeners to reach out to you. How can they reach out to you if they're interested in partnering with you in some way? What's a good way to contact you?
You can contact me through any of my social media platforms. I'm very responsive to all that stuff. I respond to 99% of every message that I ever get, unless it's one of those weird messages, then I kind of ignore those. But on Instagram, at jkhoe, J-K-H-O-E. And then on Facebook, Justin Khoe. On YouTube, That Christian Vlogger. If you want to email me, justin@thatchristianvlogger.com. And I would be very happy to talk to any of you guys, even if it's not financially based. If you're thinking about digital mission work, I would love to talk to you about that.
Yeah. Well, as a guy who gets his name mispronounced all the time, I have to apologize to you for mispronouncing your last name.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's so good to hear how it's actually said. So Khoe is your last name. I apologize for that earlier.
No, it's totally cool.
But so I think, you know, you have stepped out in boldness. And honestly, I'm sure it's not thrilling to live with your in-laws, but it's something you believe in. I don't know the situation, but it's something you believe in so much that you and your wife made this commitment to this missionary, these missionary efforts. And God is blessing those efforts. And so it's my prayer for you that others will come alongside of you, because you have started a critical conversation in a space that desperately needs it. And honestly, people aren't diving into the space because it is hard to pay your bills in this space. I think it will have long-term impact, and you know, like, there will be rewards, you know, and the seeds that you're sowing right now are gonna produce so much fruit long-term. I believe that, and excited to see what that looks like. And I think some others need to see the work you've done and invest in that towards the future. And I personally want to do that. I love the work you're doing. I think practically there are so many things that church leaders could learn just by spending an hour to watch some of your YouTube videos, because I hear all the time, we need to get on Facebook. Well, one, you're going to love this. We need to go on Facebook to reach millennials. I'm like, oh, you've already lost them when you said Facebook.
Facebook is not where it's at.
Facebook is not where it's at. But I think they also think that just by getting on a platform, you're going to be relevant. And it's not just the platform, not being on the platform, that makes you relevant. It's the way you're communicating your message in many ways. And the way that you, so what you're doing on YouTube, and I love hearing this is not crazy high tech. You're using a good camera, but you're not using the best camera. You know, you're using a good microphone. You're using, but you're using one camera. You're not using three cameras, and you're using, you know, you're doing video editing when you're not a video editor. But you're able to go and communicate the gospel in a creative and unique way to a generation that isn't listening to the traditional means that it's being distributed. So it's just so awesome.
Thanks, man. You said something that I really like. You know, you mentioned how some people feel like just showing up on the platform is enough. Now you're relevant. Now your voice will get heard. And that's not the case. What I think we need to realize is that social media requires a degree of sophistication, or at least understanding the way that platform works. So in the same way that you would send a missionary to, let's say, Zimbabwe, or you send a missionary towards, I don't know, the Middle East or anywhere else, there has to be some very serious attention paid towards the current culture, you know, to the way that people view the world. You have to be aware of the appropriate way to engage in conversation, some of the do's and the do nots. You would not go to Peru and expect to stand in the corner and speak your message in English. You would not be nearly as effective. I mean, you might get one or two people who happen to speak the language who may or may not pay attention, but that's not a recipe for success. And my point when I try to speak to people about the different social media networks is each social media and each generation within the social media network that you're speaking towards is vastly different, in the same way that Korea will be different than, you know, say Alaska. They each have their own subculture. And that's so true. Like Vimeo and YouTube are completely separate cultures. You cannot just expect to post the same video on both platforms and expect it to do well. The same thing is true if you're doing something on Instagram, or you're doing something on Snapchat or Facebook or whatever the case is. Every single one of those platforms is as different as one country is from another. Each one has a different approach, a certain set of unspoken rules and guidelines and practices that are considered acceptable or not. And so, you know, one of the worst things, I mean, well, let me not say this. It's not as ideal for a church who says, okay, we want to use YouTube. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to upload our sermon from the weekend to YouTube, and that's going to be it. Like, right. That'll reach some people, but that's actually not treating the platform with the respect that is required for you to be successful on that platform.
I love that. I see that over and over and over again. And it's at the end of the day too, what people, I think what a big takeaway I'm taking from our conversation is you don't have a viral hit. People are waiting for that viral hit. And you have just steadily kept creating good content and building community. But what I hear too, you respond to 99% of the comments and messages pretty quickly, is you have invested in relationships. And the bottom line to social media, this isn't just YouTube, it's social media, it is hard work. There is no way around that. It is hard work to create content. It is hard work to respond to every comment. It's hard work to upload it and optimize it for that platform. It's hard work to edit it. It's hard work to build the relationships, to get on Skype individually with these people all over the world. I'm guessing you're doing some of it at 2 a.m. And at 6 a.m. and at, you know, at 2 p.m. It's crazy, but it's fruitful.
No, you're exactly on point. It is hard. It is challenging. You know, there are moments where I need to always reinvest in education and learning and practicing and trying new things. But you're right. It is fruitful. And that's the part that I love about it. You know, sometimes people get discouraged when they go on YouTube and they post a devotional or they post a message or they go on Facebook Live and they share their thoughts and they get sad because only a dozen people paid attention. Yeah. And I think that that's the wrong way to approach it because, you know, if you were to be invited to lead out in a Bible study, like in someone's home and 12 people showed up, not for a second would you be discouraged. In fact, you'd be quite elated. Like, oh my goodness, 12 people came out to hear what I had to say. And there was response and there was commenting and it impacted someone's life. So even if like one person's listening, you got to think about how hard do you work to find a new Bible study contact? How hard do you work to make a difference in one person's life, right? So social media is exactly that. It's not just 12 numbers, 12 views that are just kind of disconnected from reality. No, those are 12 people who've decided to sit down and engage with your message, to engage with your content. And so for me, like even if it's happening on a smaller scale, it's so exciting. I'll give you an example. I had someone message me once because I was talking about the importance of a church community, the importance of getting connected with an in real life, you know, body of believers. I said, you know what, Justin, I want to go to church, but I don't have a car and there's no churches nearby. What should I do? And, you know, I'm not a very patient person. That's all my wife, 100%. I kind of responded without really... seasoning it with grace, I could say. I kind of gave him a little bit of tough love. I was like, you know what? Come on, let's be real. If you call up any one of those, you're saying that there's no churches nearby. Come on, be real. Like there's going to be a church nearby. And I guarantee you, if you call them, you speak to a pastor or an elder and say, hey, I'm 17 years old. I want to go to church, but I have no ride. I guarantee you someone on that leadership team is going to come to you, pick you up and drive you to church, right? I know that because I've worked with churches. And then the response comes very humbly, as if like they were in the wrong and not me. They're like, no, I'm sorry. I didn't explain it well enough. I live in a Muslim country. There are no churches. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, I totally misread the situation. But here's my point is the message is going out to people and it really is making a difference in people's life. At least once a week, I'm having real conversations with people like in depth, you know, for an hour or two from around the world, whether it's Germany, South Africa, you know, it's Malaysia. I'm talking to people who are dealing with real things, you know, the challenges with suicide, relationship problems. They're thinking about what is my calling in life. Someone literally talks to me, you know, I feel like God is calling me to ministry, but I don't know what to do about it. And so I'm actually able to interact in an in-depth way with my audience. And so you're absolutely right. Like it is hard work, but it is so worth it. And it's so cool to see how young people are responding to what's going on. I mean, like 80% of my audience is under the age of 34.
Wow.
Like a full 50% of them are under the age of 24. And you think about this, you know, we complain all the time in the church leadership space. Our young people are leaving the church. Our young people are leaving the church. They just don't care about spiritual things. And I've heard this, and I've even said these things myself once or twice, but I don't think that that's really the case. Because when I think about to my experience as a young person, it wasn't that I didn't have questions about purpose and morality. It wasn't that I wasn't interested in spiritual things. When I said church was boring, I literally meant when I would go there, it was just not interesting. It was not relevant, and it didn't speak anything towards my life. That's why I stopped paying attention when I was at church. And what I'm finding online is that's so true for so many young people around the world. They are desperately searching for meaning and purpose in life. What young person, especially millennials nowadays, doesn't want to get caught up in a purpose or in a project bigger than themselves? Yeah. Which young person nowadays isn't concerned with how we treat the world around us and social justice and all these kinds of things? They just don't realize that this is all framed within the gospel. This is exactly what God is calling us to do. So there's a large disconnect between what they're hearing on a given weekend and what their heart is crying out for. And so it's so exciting to be able to see young people who are engaging like in a very serious way with what God is doing in the world around them and in their life.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, man, thanks so much for taking the time to share these thoughts. I know that there's gonna be pastors that are listening to this that are gonna get convicted. I know that there's gonna be pastors that are listening to this that are gonna be inspired to go and do. I hope that they'll go and watch what you're doing and model that and at the core, you know, and model how you didn't have the answers when you started. You just started and you figured it out as you went. I hope they will jump in and start utilizing these platforms and being intentional and flex and adjust, because what you're doing right now is probably not going to work real effectively even 18 months from now. You're going to have to keep adjusting and flexing. And man, I'm going to be praying for you too, that that I think, you know, that God brings the people around you to even just elevate the influence you're having, because I believe, you know, honestly, I want to see ads. I want to put ads behind your videos to reach even more millennials. Because nobody's creating this content in the way you are to reach this audience. And I think we can reach so many more. And what you've done and the investment you've made and the impact you're having, I honestly, I don't know a better ministry ROI in this moment in history than investing into what you're doing. So I'm eager to get behind that. But I'm so grateful that our listeners get to learn from you and know more about you. And I appreciate you taking the time to invest in them.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Like that, it means a lot to me. You know, it means a lot that you value what I'm doing or what God is doing really through this channel and just the impact that it can have. And I would love nothing more. Like, honestly, if the people who are listening to this, you know, if I could choose between either you financially supporting my ministry or you actually going out and doing something, like getting involved in this digital space, I would side with you doing something 100% times, 100 times more than you financially supporting me. You know, don't get me wrong. Finances is a very real need in my life, but more than anything else, like my goal with all this is to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And if this conversation can inspire at least one person to take that more seriously, can encourage that one pastor to tap that young person on the shoulder and say, hey, I believe God has a calling on your life. What if we try using your influence in the digital sphere? Like that is what I'm looking for more than anything else. My paycheck isn't the money. My paycheck are the messages of young people saying that their lives have been changed from the content that is being shared. So I'm excited to be a part of this. I'm excited to connect with anyone who's listening here. And I would just encourage you guys, you know, go out there and meet people in the marketplace. You know, do what Jesus did, mingle with people, show that you care, meet them where they are at, and then, you know, bid them to follow Christ. And if that happens to be today where people are at, they're on the digital space, then go and do that. My ultimate point isn't that we should replace the physical church with digital ministry completely. I just think that we can do a lot more if we have both of those working very well together, hand in hand. And so I would encourage anyone who's out there to really give it a shot and to treat it seriously and to really give it your best effort.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Justin.
Thanks, Nels.